After Freddie Gray died of injuries sustained in police custody in Baltimore, the Washington Post published a story chronicling the effects of his exposure to lead paint as a young child in that city. It's well documented. Freddie Gray was tested as an infant, and when his levels as an infant were shown by the Post to a pediatrician recently, the doctor gasped. Then in 2009, Freddie Gray and his twin sister and mom were part of a lawsuit involving a number of families. Our next guest never met the Grays or came to Baltimore, but he wrote a medical opinion in that case. He was not paid for it. He offers opinions, he says, because he's passionate about the subject. So today we want to talk to him about where we are on lead poisoning. Kim Dietrich is a distinguished professor of environmental health and director of the Division of Epidemiology and Biostatistics at the University of Cincinnati. He's a part of a team of researchers at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center that's been studying the effects of lead paint for 30 years, following more than 350 children whose mothers lived in areas of Cincinnati with high concentrations of lead. And Professor Dr. Dietrich, it might sound like a simple question, but what is lead paint?
Well, lead paint was used in residences, particularly in pre-World War II residences, but even beyond that, for a long period of time. Lead paint is very durable. It has a number of properties that make it a very nice coating for walls, both in the interiors of homes and also the exteriors. The problem is that it deteriorates over time and becomes a constituent of dust and soil in these homes that is very difficult to abate, and that children, particularly young children, because they tend to play on the grass or soil around the home or play on the floors, get the lead dust on their hands, and because of their normal oral activity, hand-to-mouth activity, bring the lead dust or lead-laden soil into their mouths and dose themselves with lead over time.
They could also eat chips that have chipped off.
Chips are a factor, but not as much a factor as you might think. The problem with lead is when it gets into dust and soil is that it's occult. It's very difficult to see and very difficult to clean up. So that children will get the dust and they bring this lead to their oral cavity and then ingest it as a result of this normal hand-to-mouth behavior.
We want to talk about what you and others think it does once it gets in the bloodstream. But first, is it still in homes? If somebody's painted over lead paint, does that mean it'll stop it from getting in the dust?
You can try to seal the walls, and that's a very good thing to do, and try to maintain the integrity of the walls and try to do other things to reduce the level of lead and dust. But it's very difficult to keep up with it. So even after you paint over it, when that paint starts to deteriorate, which will inevitably do, then the lead continues to flake off and become a constituent of the dust in the homes. The other thing, too, is that even when you are dusting or mopping or wet mopping every day, the recontamination rate is so high in these older homes is that it's very difficult to keep up with it.
Oh, boy. And what is the effect of this lead poisoning? How much do kids have to ingest to have an impact, and what's the impact?
Well, the blood lead concentration, the reference level set in 2012 by the CDC, is now 5 micrograms per deciliter in blood. To give some perspective, only a few years ago, it was around 60 micrograms per deciliter.
Which means it doesn't take a lot to have an impact.
It doesn't take a lot by current standards. What we considered a lot even 10, 15 years ago is now considered completely unacceptable.
Right.
So it's taken down to 5 as a protective measure. But there are a lot of studies that are showing effects on IQ and other behavioral problems like attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, oppositional defiant disorder, at levels as low as 5 micrograms per deciliter. And then in our studies, we have here in Cincinnati the longest prospective study of lead exposure in child development, I would say child, adolescent, and adult development in the world. And one of the things that we have found in our unique study is that early exposure to lead takes the child into a higher risk for engaging in delinquent acts when they were adolescents, then into early adult criminality, particularly involving violent acts, and then into later adulthood criminality.
Well, but how do you know that you can draw that line? Because there's so many other factors. This is a scourge, it's been said so often, in poor inner city communities. But how do you know that it's the lead poisoning and not the poor schools or parental involvement or the associations with criminal elements on the street? How do you know it's the lead?
That's an outstanding question. So one of the reasons why we suspect some of it, not all of it, is due to lead is because we controlled for all of these other factors. We controlled for things like maternal and parental stimulation in the home. We controlled for socioeconomic and sociodemographic factors. We even controlled for the parents' own criminal activity as a possible heritability factor. So lead is certainly playing some role, not the complete role, obviously. These kids have many other challenges in their lives besides lead, but lead is one we feel definitely plays a role. The other factor is that we've not only looked at adult criminality in these subjects, but we've also done magnetic resonance imaging studies on their brains. And we found that early exposure to lead was associated with cortical loss in their brains in the areas of the brains that are associated with judgment, impulse control, or what psychologists call the executive functions. So the lead-related damage wasn't all over the brain, but it was in those areas of the brain that my colleague Kim Cecil over at Children's Hospital would say make us the most human.
Well, and so you and others are saying that someone with lead poisoning is more likely to have an arc of a life that might end in criminal behavior, but at the very least, they have diminished cognitive function. I mean, even if they don't end up with criminal behavior, is that what I'm hearing?
That's right. I'm not saying that a history of lead exposure dooms you to a juvenile delinquency or a career of criminality, but it is a factor in the entire equation of growing up in these older neighborhoods with these older deteriorating homes and all of the other factors that are associated with that.
Well, and, you know, some of us may know someone who bought an old home that's not in the inner city and found their middle-class children eating paint chips in an old house that they thought would be a great fixer-upper. So across the board, it's something to worry about.
So I would say that lead is an equal opportunity toxicant. And we do occasionally in our lead clinic here in Cincinnati, we do occasionally get children from middle or upper middle class families who have moved into older homes and tried to do self-renovation using techniques that are very questionable, like flame stripping and other things on the walls.
Yeah. Cautionary tale. Kim Dietrich is a distinguished professor of environmental health and director of the Division of Epidemiology and Biostatistics at the University of Cincinnati, part of an over 30-year study of the effects of lead paint. By the way, thinking of Freddie Gray, who as an adult in a deposition in 2009 said, "I was always in special education. My twin sister was always aggressive." How do these people that you're meeting feel about the fact that they know they've been poisoned?
Well, that's a rather long story. So when these children were adolescents, when they got beyond the age of 18, they would come back to me and say, you know, why can't I hold on to a job? Why am I angry all the time? Why can't I maintain a stable domestic relationship? And actually, sometimes their mothers or girlfriends would come to me and ask me those questions. So, yes, I have counseled them about their lead exposure history. But I also am very careful when I talk to them to say, this is not your destiny. You know, you still have control of your life. And the only way we can actually discover these associations is when we look at large groups of children. We have subjects that certainly have been lead poisoned by contemporary standards that have done well, but a lot of them have not done well. And our studies show that lead is playing some part of that.
Yeah. Very sad. From the home that you live in. Kim Dietrich, again, thank you very much.
You're welcome.